Chris and Kira.
Turn it up
on 2FM.
Joining us on the phone, as he does every Tuesday, gives me a great pleasure to welcome him back. Let's give him a big round of applause. Friend of the show, one half of the Rubber Bandits. It is Mr. Blind Boy Boat Club. Blind Boy, how are you, man?
I'm grand. I'm fucking brilliant.
Are you? Good. Okay.
Good.
This is very emphatic. Usually you're quite laid back. I'm glad to hear you're in a good mood.
Yeah.
How is life?
It's great.
Good.
Just, you know, just, it's a good... Anytime, you know, getting up in the morning and I have my health and what else do you want, you know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
Life is great.
No, I hear you. I remember one time, I believe it, to quote you on this very show, you said, at least I have arms and legs. And I was like, that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, I was like, yeah, fair enough. Well, look, we're all here with our arms, with our legs. Friend of the show, Blind Boy, is on with us to chat with us as he always does. We didn't get to chat to him last week or the week before, so it is great to have him back on with us. And there's a lot going on, actually, that Kira and I would like your opinions on, Blind Boy. So I know I have something that I'm dying to get your opinion on. I know Kira does as well. So Kira, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I've been noticing an awful lot of articles recently about animals and how they're very like humans. And I don't know, was it you or Mr. Chrome that tweeted this from the Rubber Bandits account? But it was an article about how ravens can imagine being spied on.
Yeah, it's a bit that it infers consciousness on the part of the raven, which is something we don't really know about consciousness in animals. You know what I mean?
The thing about these studies, right? Because I saw another one today, right? Seemingly, birds of prey are starting fires deliberately in the Australian outback.
What freaks? Why?
As a protest?
Okay, no, why are they doing that?
Here's the thing, right? Listen to this, right? They've been watched by, I don't know, different Aboriginal tribes and different researchers and stuff like that. And what they do is they drop smouldering sticks, right? So that will spread the fire. And here's the thing: mice, frogs, all different little things that birds of prey eat start running out because obviously they want to get away from the fire. And what do the birds of prey do? They swoop down and they capture their food. And I was absolutely fascinated by this. And then I saw the article that you tweeted about how ravens can imagine being spied on. And I always said there was something about ravens.
You think they're like more sinister than the rest of the animals?
Here's the thing. It's just an amazing the connection between how birds like that are actually kind of very human-like in their thinking.
Well, no, that's what they're saying. Go ahead, Blind Boy, sorry.
It's an interesting one. Like, I mean, if you're ever around, you know, when you're driving around motorways in Ireland, you notice you'd see a hawk up in the air.
Sure.
The reason, like, hawks hang around motorways because they're looking for dead animals that get a slap of a car, you know?
Of course, they're looking for roadkill. Yeah, exactly.
Looking for roadkill. But here's the thing, right? Now, I don't know if I spoke about this before, but it's a scientific experiment they did around what is culture, right?
Sure.
And regarding, we'll say, those birds of prey that are starting fires, the thing is that is it evidence of actual critical thinking and creativity, or is it evidence of merely an adaptation? Like, there's otters that will put seashells on their stomachs and they'll use a stone to smash the seashell. But that otter isn't, you know, they're not being creative there. They've inherited that trait. You know, it's an inherited behaviour. So the study that they did to find out what culture was is they got a lot of monkeys in a cage. The monkeys had to leave the cage, but there was a lock on it, right? So monkey number one goes up, fucks around with the lock and solves the puzzle and manages to leave the cage. Then monkey number two goes up, also fucks around with the lock and manages to leave the cage, right?
Sure.
So they kept doing this until there were six monkeys. Each monkey went up, solved the problem and left. Then they put a lot of humans into the cage. Human number one opened the lock, then told all the other humans how to do it and everyone left.
Okay.
Okay.
I hear you.
You get me?
Yeah,
that's
of course.
Culture
sure.
And creativity is the ability to solve a problem and then tell another member of that culture or another member of your species about it and they learn and improve upon it. But these hawks that are doing it, I highly doubt that the hawks are having a conversation about starting fires. But seriously, that's what separates those from animals.
No, I get you, man.
But there is
the use of language.
There are scientists were saying in that whole study that was done on ravens, you know, they're saying that they can imagine being spied on. They said that.
Like, that's mad.
That is mental because
really
it shows
is,
the traits there that are showing, like, they would be considered kind of uniquely human. And now they might be found in animals too.
An awareness of self.
There you go. And others think it's an awareness of how another person might think. Isn't that the whole point of that survey?
It is, and they usually use mirrors to do that. I mean, dolphins and monkeys were the two that we can see do that. I mean, a dolphin can go up to a mirror and then it will react to the other dolphin in the mirror and know that it's itself.
It knows that it's, yes. Show
yeah.
Show a mirror to a dog and the dog will attack the reflection, thinking that it's another dog. But monkeys and dolphins are the only ones who can look into a mirror and have an awareness that it's themselves that they're looking at. And for a crow to have an awareness of being spied upon, to me, that suggests that it's able to think of things outside itself. That's a huge level of intelligence, self-awareness there for a crow.
Yeah, isn't it?
They
absolutely
say that about crows. Actually, Blind Boy, I don't know, was it you that was telling us this story about a man that came out and fed and helped an injured crow, and the crow continued coming back even after it was well?
Yeah.
What was it? It was you that was saying that.
Crows as well can, if you go near a dead crow on the road, right?
Sure.
You're warned, don't go near a dead crow on the road, because if his friends see you near that corpse, they will remember you and attack you because they think you killed it.
That's amazing.
Wow, really?
Crows are exceptional. Another thing crows will do as well, and again, I don't know whether this is creativity or just something that's bred into them, but crows will pick conkers off trees and knock them on the ground and let cars roll over them and then go down and eat them.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting as well, because that couldn't possibly be instinct, if you get me, because obviously automobiles would be relatively new in a crow's developmental history, if you get me.
There's a certain amount of creativity there, you know. A crow will only live to be about 6 years of age, so their generations tend to spawn quicker. So
sure.
You could be talking maybe, 100 generations of crows before.
I suppose not exactly the same as humans. I just always found it was weird, because I've read this stuff about crows before and their self-awareness and all that, and how they're like the other animals that kind of react to a reflection. But crows have really small brains, which is unusual. Like, crows, as whatever mammals go, have tiny little brains. So I'm amazed that they have this ability to comprehend
all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's size of brain relative to the rest of the body.
No, I get that.
A whale's brain is massive. Like, whale's brain is the size of a punto.
Relative to him,
huge.
I get you. I understand that as well. Here, it is fascinating though, especially the way the crow can know he might be being spied on and can kind of be a little more shady and like a little more evasive and stuff. It's awesome. But there you go. Those devious crows, eh? Blind Boy, I also wanted to chat to you about something, which I think is kind of cool. You seem to be really involved in this as well, you seem to be following it very closely. I'm also following it. I don't think quite to the same level that you're following it too. However, I am kind of, I won't say fascinated, but I'm certainly very interested in a morbid way in this Martin Shkreli character.
Yeah.
He's an interesting dude, right? I mean, he's a lot going on. I was going to ask you, because I'll remind everyone who he is. Martin Shkreli is the guy who put up the price of the AIDS medication.
Yeah.
That's how everybody knows him. He's the guy who, the pills were, whatever, like $13 a pill, and then he put them up to $700 or something.
Didn't he buy the most expensive album of all time?
He did, for $2 million. That's right. And he considers himself a bit of a hip-hop aficionado. Not the biggest fan ever, which he's admitted in interviews, but he certainly does like hip-hop and its history. So he said, why don't I spend $2 million on this? What I was going to ask is, to you, Blind Boy, because I think you're very savvy when it comes to all this stuff. You can know when a narrative is being created or when someone is manipulating something in some way. What is his end game with this? Does he want to be a figure of hate? Does he want to be a commentator? Does he want to be a talking head? Where is he going with this? That's what I can't figure out.
I would definitely class the man as a psychopath, without question, right?
Why is that?
I use the term psychopath in, like I said before, not all psychopaths are murderers. A psychopath is somebody who's very charismatic, obsessed with power, and has zero empathy.
Sure.
And he ticks all three of those boxes, without question. The other thing as well is I frame, in terms of culture and society, right, I frame Shkreli in the same way that I would frame ISIS.
Okay.
And again, what I mean by this is hyper realism. He's trying to be a super villain.
See, isn't he? That's what I was getting at. He's like,
so
he's doing this on purpose, though. Do you know what I mean?
They're using... our culture has grown up so much with, we'll say, the Sky News and Fox News or whatever being so similar to films that we can't tell the difference anymore, right?
Sure.
And, yeah.
Like, now we have the infrastructure with the internet where ISIS are basically the Joker.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going with that. Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
ISIS,
they behead people on... You know, on the internet, and we all sit back and watch the spectacle, and we're waiting for a superhero. And that's Shkreli is doing the same thing. He is absolutely a 100% villain, and he's playing this out in the media to fulfil his own narcissism. You know, this is what I know. Patrick Bateman isn't real, but if American Psycho was written now, American Psycho dude would be doing this on the internet anonymously and you know, raping women on cameras for his own kicks and shit like that, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. This guy reminds me of Lex Luthor.
Yeah, kind of. Like,
seriously. It's very similar.
Yeah. He's this, and that's what I'm saying. It's almost like he's decided, because he's a whatever, multi-millionaire. I don't think he ever has to exactly worry about money. And it's like he's decided, you know what? If you can't be famous, be infamous. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just going to be this one-dimensionally evil, horrible bastard and see how far I can go with it. Like, that seems to
Absolutely.
Be what he's doing. Yeah.
And but
it's
the
terrifying.
Other thing too, and it's a good thing to watch, I would also compare it to the art world, right? And I'll tell you why. I was talking to a very wealthy man once, and he was an art collector, and I was asking him, I said, what's the story? Why are you into art, right?
Sure.
When people are incredibly wealthy, right, they're isolated only except for a small group of other very wealthy people, right? So their level of competition only happens within this small group of wealthy people. Now, in the reason that very wealthy people will buy art is because anybody can go and buy a Ferrari, but only somebody with taste and education can buy a Picasso and know why it's of value. Do you get me?
Sure, yeah.
And I think with Shkreli, he is trying to get a value system within his group of elitist pricks to go, look what I'm doing on the internet, lads. Look yeah. at me, I'm a villain. Look how cool I am.
And
it's
he's
no
like,
different
sure.
to, you know, Johnny Knoxville drinking a pint of his own puke. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, except we're dealing with the yeah. big leagues.
But I guess, as you say, Blind Boy, because we are such, and I mean this kind of literally and figurative, because we're such little people to him, it's not like we matter, as in we're just part of the joke, if you get me. Us, he's like kicking a nest of bees, and the bees are all flying out, and we're the bees, if you get me. Mm. And he's like, isn't this
exactly.
funny, what I'm doing to these poor bees? And all his friends are like, God, you know, you really have those bees angry, don't you?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. No, I get you.
Because, like I said, in his circle of friends, he has a circle of friends and he has people who are his peers, and he's after getting the money. He can have the women, he can have whatever he wants. And I'm working off a psychological model here known as Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Sure.
Right? So humans have basic needs. He's up at the top. His food is sorted, his wealth is sorted, his sex is sorted. So within his small group, what has he got left? To create a spectacle.
Yes, yeah, see, self-actualization is the last one, isn't it?
That's at the very top.
Yeah, so is this how he's doing that?
Elon Musk has all his needs sorted, so he wants to try and actually solve the problems of the world.
The same
could be argued for, like, Bono or Gelda. They've gotten as far as they can, so they want to solve the problems of the world. Shkreli doesn't. Shkreli wants attention and being a mad bastard within his small group of elitist friends, and I think this is what we're looking at.
Blind Boy, that's a great way of putting it, though. Yeah. That is a great... Because I really was like, what is this guy doing? Like, what is the plan here? Blind Boy, maybe you're right. Maybe it is nothing more than...
Self-esteem.
Yeah,
if you want to find out someone's motivations, you go self-esteem every time.
Man, there you go. Jesus, that's a terrifying thought that he's doing all this for that. But look, Blind Boy, we always learn a lot. Chris and Kira. Turn it up! On 2FM.